As we've heard, the Congressional Budget Office has reported on the impact of the U.S. military occupation of Iraq. It has also come up with a cost estimate for that occupation. At the low end, the Congressional Budget Office says it might cost about $8 billion a year, or it could cost as much as $29 billion a year. It depends on how large a U.S. force remains in Iraq. Sam Gardner is a defense consultant who's done a lot of reconstruction work and studied the reconstruction needs of Iraq, and he's a retired Air Force colonel. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here.
First, given what's going on nowadays in Iraq, which of the CBO's scenarios strikes you as most likely? For example, reducing U.S. troops in Iraq down to a third or less of the 180,000 who are there now and getting down to the single-digit billions or something more than that?
Well, I think we have to get to the lower number. But the problem is that you have to go strong till you get it under control, and then you can talk about a smaller force later. And so that in ways, what the CBO study does, it talks about the long term, mm-hmm. and you can't have a long term till you get over the short term.
Let's look at the short term as being just a couple of years in outlook. You think military costs, therefore, up pushing toward $30 billion a year?
I think so. I think the higher number is probably a good one.
If, in fact, there are going to be upwards of 100,000 military troops in Iraq, what is the continuing impact of that number on military preparedness worldwide? What does the CBO say? What do you think about it?
Well, the CBO makes a point about strains on other missions. That's certainly true. The Army is, for the most part, now deployed. It has very little flexibility. And that's with 180,000 reservists on active duty today.
What does it say, then, about the policy aim of the Defense Department to be able to manage two conflicts at one time if, having defeated Iraq with, by general consent, as few, as they say, boots on the ground as you could put there, if the aftermath of that war makes it impossible to respond to another conflict?
Well, I think what we have to do is recognize very few people thought through the fact that we would be there for a year, for 2 years, in what the Army calls stability operations. That was never part of the equation. And in fact, I understand that's what Secretary Rumsfeld is thinking about right now, and that is how much additional we might have to do stability operations.
You mean, should the U.S. simply have a larger military? Should the Army be bigger than it is right now if the demands of its policies are bigger than the resources we have?
Bigger and of a different quality. We don't have in the military the kinds of people that are needed to do sustained stability operations. Enough engineers, enough medical personnel, enough people who can do and deal with civil affairs and nation building.
The strains that the Congressional Budget Office reports on and that we're speaking about here are mostly strains on the Army, not on the Air Force or the
Navy. That's right.
Does that mean that there still is an ability for the U.S., if it's needed, to project military force around the world simply without being able to land a couple of divisions on the ground?
That's a very important point. What it does mean is that we have in no way reduced our ability, for example, to stop a North Korean attack into the South. We have maintained the capability to prevent aggression, is probably the best way to say it. What we don't have now is the ability to sustain ground combat operations and then do the stability part which would follow.
Sam Gardner, thanks a lot for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Defense consultant and retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner.